we are fortunate to have Tammy Gold with us. Tammy is a professor at Hunter College, a filmmaker, a visual artist, and most importantly, an activist. Her films have consistently been at the forefront of social justice, focusing on issues of race, gender, sexual identity, labor, and policing. They've aired on PBS, HBO, and on television throughout the world. She is here with us right now to actually discuss a visit that she made to the West Bank and the occupied territory of Palestine with a group of media scholars and filmmakers from around the United States. Good morning, Tammy.
Morning, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really curious to hear about the trip that you took. I think it was late last summer in August to Palestine. And what was the group that you went with there? How did the trip come about?
Well, I was there in June.
Oh, and, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. And it was a group that was put together. It was, filmmakers and academics. And the objective was to really meet with people who work in that area, like to meet with journalists, to meet with people who are studying, and some professors, and really to get a sense of how media operates in the West Bank. I was specifically in the West Bank. And, there were people, there was a few filmmakers. Most of the people were more analytical, or people who worked in kind of film theory, media theory. And so, anyway, that was the trip. We were in Ramallah, we were in Bethlehem, Hebron, the East Jerusalem, and we went to many different TV stations. One of the things that was fantastic for me was to see how many women are in very important positions. TV hosts, technicians, professors who are really leaders in their departments of media. And it was, obviously we go someplace with, whether we know it or not, our own stereotypes or our own sense of what we're going to see. And that broke a lot of my own kind of sense of what we would encounter. So it was pretty fascinating to meet as many women in lead positions as we did. Pretty amazing.
Wow. Well, was that part of the goal of the trip, really to bring back images and, understanding, deeper understanding of the experience of people living in the occupied territory?
Yes, exactly. It was part of the objective is really to create cross-cultural interaction and potential work together. So, like, I met a woman who has a TV show, a radio show, 5 days a week, something like a four-hour, you could imagine, doing radio. She does 4 hours. And I'm sure if you went to see the studios that they operate in, you'd be really surprised because it's pretty sophisticated. Hmm. Anyway, so she's has a show 5 days a week, and she develops her own content, and she is pretty articulate and amazing, and she's 25 years old.
Mm. Wow.
And she's doing this amazing work. Mm-hmm. And when I asked her about, what do you talk about and how do you deal with the occupation, she said, the occupation is what we live under. But that's not who we are.
Ooh, do you have a name and a number? This is somebody we might like to have on a... Yes. Well, we'll talk to you off the air about that.
But, that's amazing. She says, that doesn't define us. Mm. I talk to people about everything. Mm-hmm. And about transportation. About their jobs.
Yeah.
About what makes them happy. Mm-hmm. About their food. About the love of their music. Or about the new hip-hop music. I mean, it was just like, oh, wow, that really broke my own stereotype. It just was pretty powerful. Mm. So I was there literally right at the time when the three Israeli hitchhikers from the settlement, from an Israeli settlement, were kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
And so when, you know, I made all these plans to come back to the United States and immediately develop something with this particular woman who I'm talking about, this young 25-year-old. But then when I got back, because things escalated so intensely, you could imagine, I ended up in a situation where I couldn't reach them because a lot of things just came to a grinding halt. There was, you know, basically, to just step back a second, that was the objective of the trip, so that I could bring, as a professor, to my students my experience and break some of the, you know, it's almost like, how do we break the media eclipse, the blockade in terms of information of really what life is like in the West Bank and in Palestine? So a lot of this is why this is happening, these kind of tours or these kind of fellowships. And like in my case, it was a fellowship to go there to develop this and then to go back. But what happened was, obviously, most of the listeners here know that in June 13th, three young Israeli students were hitchhiking and they were kidnapped. They're young people who live in the settlements right outside of Hebron. And it was the, it's a long thing, but we all know that it caused huge, horrendous reactions by the Israeli government and military. And so while I was there, there was this house-to-house searches and arrests, and basically the entire infrastructure. I mean, it wasn't just looking for people who might have been involved or just looking for people who were Hamas sympathizers. And Hamas is the political leading group party in Gaza, not in the West Bank. But what happened was, most of the contacts I had were very hard to reach afterwards. But the search was really enormous in terms of its real effort to destroy the infrastructure of the West Bank. Because in Hebron, there was it wasn't just house-to-house searches. Things were destroyed to the point where toilets were destroyed, kitchens were destroyed. Every aspect of what people's lives were, specifically around Hebron, not exclusive to Hebron. The major universities in Ramallah were occupied and shut down. Now, this is a university, a very reputable university in Ramallah that has been shut down previously for 7 years because of the way the Israeli military operates. And when there's a sense of a problem, the Israeli military, one of the first things they occupy is the universities. Well, as somebody who's a professor in a university, I know very well that that's the kind of, you want that, that's a very important place because that's where people are being educated. Mm-hmm. That's where the future is. Well, what a better way to stop the future you go and you shut down a university, which then to get the wheels going, to be able to get back on target in the case of, and I don't want to pronounce it because right now I don't have any papers in front of me mm-hmm. with the right pronunciation, but the university in Ramallah was shut down for 7 years previously. So we see the effect of this. Anyway, so when I was there, it was interesting because the very beginning of my experience was completely different than my end of my experience because of what happened.
And what are some of the things that you saw while you were there?
Well, one of the things is I'll just plug my own presentation. I'm doing a presentation Sunday, January 25th. That's this coming Sunday. It's open to the public. And it's a presentation about my experience. It's very much from my experience. I'm not trying to push a political point. I'm really talking about what I witnessed. Mm-hmm. I'm really presenting somebody's firsthand experience, somebody who's completely and totally Jewish identified.
And where is this going to be on Sunday, Tammy?
It's going to be at what's called the Pop-Up Gallery in El Barrio. It's Pops. It's a gallery. And it's on 102nd Street. That's 102 Street. And the corner of Park Avenue. It's 110 East 102nd Street. And that's at the corner of Park Avenue. Mm-hmm. And it's at 2 o'clock. 2 p.m. and it's a I'm going to do the presentation. I show images, I show photographs that are projected. I have I created my own little wall, like the separation wall in the West Bank, which is, you know, pretty shocking experience to witness that wall. And so it's, you know, the public's invited, and I hope all the people listening to this or some find their way there. So I did present, because when I came back from Palestine last summer, I was in Mexico afterwards, and I did this presentation in Mexico.
Wow.
And it was an interesting thing because of people's reactions to it, which is very different than here, naturally.
Mm-hmm. We should say, by the way, that we're speaking with Tammy Gold, a filmmaker and educator, talking about her experiences last year in the West Bank and under Israeli occupation. Tammy, you know, we don't want to run out of time, and several questions that Pam and I want to ask you. Let me ask you, what did you have to go through anything extraordinary to visit where you visited and talk to the people that you talked to? Was filmmaking allowed? Interviews allowed to be done? You know, what was that experience like?
Well, going into Palestine, the West Bank, we have to go through the Israeli airport in Tel Aviv. And there's a lot of security there. So, you know, I was kind of schooled ahead of time, you know, that I shouldn't be, you know, carrying a lot of literature with me that is either has a political orientation or anything. My experience going through the airport was very easy going. I had no trouble entering Israel and then getting a bus that would take me to Ramallah. Leaving, you could imagine, was very different because things had escalated a lot.
Mm.
So that explains, you know, that things are like, you know, there's a level of tension that really escalated. It was almost like two different visits. I didn't have as much problem leaving because, I don't know, I know why. Because I carried a tour book with me the whole time of Israel.
Mm.
I bought a tour book so that I had that, and then I bought gifts, so it looked very much like I was a tourist.
Uh-huh.
And I was a tourist, let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't a tourist in Israel. I was a tourist in the West Bank. So I got through, but the people I was with, many of them did not get through easily. This is getting through security to get on an airplane to return to the United States.
Hmm.
And they even went, the military and the people, the security, even went as far as to check people's hair, where they, you know, dusted people's hair to make sure it was so-called clean. So I'm not sure I'm even answering the question.
No, you are, absolutely. It's really...
I think one of the things that's important, like for me, when I talk about the experience, is the amazing sense of people being welcoming to me. And in my group, I was the only person who was really clearly Jewish identified. In the group, there were 10 people. Of the 10 people, 4 were African American, 1 was an American Egyptian, and the rest were, you know, people like myself who are white Americans. And wherever I went, I would say I'm a member of Jewish Voice for Peace, the New York chapter. And everyone who met me knew from that self-identification that I was Jewish. And the sense of engagement with what that means and what that means from our history to the present was completely an open discussion. It was a powerful discussion. I never for a minute felt any, hostility towards me. It was always about where do we go together? How do we move forward? How do we get out of the situation that we're in? And, you know, it wasn't like we talked about one state, two states. It was much more fluid than just limiting it to some of the discussions people often have in the United States about solutions. And it was really about people to people, meeting each other and figuring out ways we could work together in the future. What I was going to say, because I know this is a brief conversation, is one of the biggest impacts to me was the wall.
I wanted to ask you, Tammy, about witnessing the wall. What was that like?
It's pretty amazing because it's massive, and there's moments where you can't see anything but the wall in your visual vista. You see it all the time in the distance and close up. And it's a fascinating experience of cutting people off from their own land. It's not even a wall separating Israel from Palestine. It's Palestinians being separated from Palestinians. So it's created a no man's so-called a no man's land, a separation space where many people who are Palestinian live in an area which is just completely walled off. So they have to walk 10, 20 blocks or, very far to get to the bus station that's 50 feet from where they live. It just cuts people off even from each other. It's pretty amazing. It's not just a wall, as Israel claims, a security wall. It's a psychological wall. It's a breaking down of community wall. It's a way you are nothing wall. It's a pretty amazing psychological impact. And the wall looks just like the wall between the United States and Mexico. It's made by the same people. It's visually the same. The United States hired the company in Israel to be the architects of the wall in the United States with Mexico. It really was shocking, disturbing, and it really speaks that this is a real international struggle.
Tammy, were you able to photograph the wall? What were you able to take photographs of?
Well, I took as many photographs as I could of the wall, of people, of laughter, of, which is all represented in the presentation,
right?
I do. It's it really is an emphasis on my experience. So I talk about the sense of this kind of surrealistic wall kind of, circling around the West Bank. And I didn't go into the settlements, but I shot a lot of settlements from outside. And there's, the settlements are Israeli settlements, and they are enclaves.
And you had access, Tammy? You had complete unfettered access? No one came up to you and asked you what you were filming or anything like that?
Well, I was taking still photography, that's one
okay.
thing.
Yeah.
And the question about access is interesting, because you also have to practice your own sense of, how close to the checkpoints are you willing to take photographs, or what you're willing to take photographs, because it's not just about me. I was with 10 other people, and I needed to be sensitive
to
how they were feeling.
Sure.
In being in distant from the settlement, plenty of people who do excursions, like people-to-people trips to learn about what's happening in Palestine, go into the settlements, and they meet people in the settlements. The group I was with was really not focused on that. So I did take a lot of photographs of the settlements, and you can't not take photographs because the settlements are everywhere. They are everywhere. The Israeli settlements are built in an enclave. They have the wall around it. They're built all the same with this white stone, red roofs. They're completely first world. They have all the amenities of completely upper middle class or middle class and up amenities, swimming pools, a lot of access to water, to, you know, shopping centers, to schools of, you know, first world schools, the finest education. And then they, in some cases, they're overlooking Palestinian refugee camps. So again, not just the walls, but the physical landscape of the West Bank is a landscape of intimidation. It's a landscape of a psychological warfare going on, that Israel is not just taking the land of people who have olive groves. They're taking the psyche away from people's sins. This is my nation. This is my home, you know. But surrounding me are all the Israeli settlements, you know. So that was hard. And it was very hard for me as somebody who really loves my culture, loves my Judaism, and loves what it taught me about, you know, about values and about anti-sectarianism and about standing up for what's right for everyone. It was absolutely, basically, a punch in my stomach every time I saw this injustice.
Wow.
This physical, day-to-day living injustice.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Tammy. That was really a powerful description of your experience.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tammy. We really appreciate it.